Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, there's nothing greater than being in the presence of the Lord. And we thank God for His presence here today. And I just want to share with you real briefly a word from the Lord that I believe will bring encouragement to you. And can I just say this before I preach this and share this with you? That I believe that what God has put on my heart for today is probably one of the most vital things for where our church is at right now, and really the most essential for us as we grow as a church and keep going forward in the presence of God. And so I pray you'll just take this to heart today and let the Lord just put it there and stir us to draw nearer to Him. And it all has to do with our connection to having unshakable joy in our life. How many of you want to walk your walk with unshakable joy? We want to, listen, despite the circumstances and the situations and the sorrows that we face and the problems that we encounter, I want you to know that we can have an unshakable joy. I felt the Lord put that on my heart several weeks ago to preach this to you, and mainly to myself as well, that despite what you are walking through or despite what you've been through, you can have an unshakable joy even when your own world around you is shaken. Anybody ever had your personal world shaken before? I know every hand here ought to go up, because we all have. If we hadn't, just hold on, it's coming. So this morning, I want to just continue right on. What we're doing is walking through the book of Philippians. I did this a couple of times several weeks ago and went through and just began to mark where I saw the word joy or rejoice or gladness, just depending on what translation you're reading. But open your Bible this morning to the book of Philippians. And I want you to remember that the book of Philippians, the main theme of Philippians is joy. It's joy, which is amazing in itself, because the Apostle Paul, this letter, he's actually writing a letter to a church, and he's writing the letter, you all know, he's writing it from prison. He's actually chained up in prison, and he's putting together this letter to send out to this church, the Philippian church. That the theme of the letter is joy, how to have joy. And Paul tells us that our joy does not come from our circumstances, because your circumstances are always going to change. You know, it changes from day to day, and it did that in Paul's life. We went through a long list of how his circumstances changed day by day. But his unshakable joy didn't come from his circumstances. Paul told us, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. In other words, Paul was saying, your unshakable joy is a choice that you make in your life. That if you don't get anything else out of what I'm preaching to you, I hope that you'll get that your joy is a choice. It's a choice. You've been commanded to rejoice in the Lord, so that command given to you, now there's a decision that has to be made. Am I going to rejoice or not? And we are to make a choice to be joyful. And Paul says, not only are we to make a choice, but we are also to have this unshakable joy. You have to stay connected to Christ. That's the key right there, friend. Connected to your bank account, connected to your retirement, connected to your possessions, your pleasures. Nothing in this world is going to give you unshakable joy. Only Jesus Christ can give you unshakable joy. He is the one that gives joy, and that's why we have to stay connected to Him. And Paul says, if you make the choice and you stay connected to Christ, who's the source of joy, then your joy is going to be consistent in your life. No matter what you're walking through, you'll have a consistent joy. And then we we learned last week, Paul tells us that, you know what? You don't have to live under your circumstances. You don't have to have the testimony that I'm doing okay under my circumstances. In fact, Paul tells us that you can live above your circumstances with an unshakable joy. And the reason why that you can live above your circumstances and not under them is because what Paul says, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, it's a win-win for me in my life. I don't care what I'm walking through. Listen, it may be hard, it may be challenging, but despite what I'm walking through, it's a win for me now and it's a win for me in the future because I have Christ with me. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Now today I want us to look and just go right over into Philippians chapter 2. And Paul shows us another way to have unshakable joy in our life. And this way here is so essential and so vital for your life personally, but most of all for the church. Maybe you'll pick up on what it is as I read to you verses 1 through 11. Keep in mind, this letter is being written by a man who is chained up in prison. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. Let me stop right there and teach you a little bit about the original language there. He says, if any. It means like, if you or if any and you do. He's saying like, if you have and you do, if you have and you do. It could read like some translations say, because you have encouragement by being united with Christ. But if you have any encouragement, and you do, as you could read it like that, any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort, and you do, from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, and you do, if any tenderness and compassion, and you do, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude, have you got an attitude this morning? Your attitude should be the same of that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. His name is higher. And gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we thank you for your word. And I just pray for your anointing now to preach it. I pray for your anointing now for all of us to receive it. And God, to just let it transform our lives. God, we thank you that your word is like a mirror. We look into it, God, and we see the things in our life that need to be changed. Help us, God, to apply it now. In the holy name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Another way to have an unshakable joy in your life, as Paul mentioned here, is found in verse 2. It's found in verse 2. You may pick it up. He says in verse 2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Paul is saying that unity is a key, another way to have an unshakable joy in your life. Unity leads you to unshakable joy. Unity in your life, unity in your home with your family, it leads to unshakable joy. Paul knew that the more that the church grew And the more that the church was being used to advance the kingdom of God, that the church must be on guard and the church must protect against division and disunity. Paul knew that a unified church would be a joyful church. And Paul said right here in this passage that being in unity gives him great joy. It makes his joy complete. Aren't you thankful, friend, that we can have unshakable joy through the unity that we have in our relationships? There's a great joy when a husband and a wife are in unity. There is great joy when parents and their children are in unity. There's a great joy when families, no matter how made up they are of outside influence or whatever it may be, it's a blessing when families are in unity together. There's great joy when families are in unity. There's great joy when the body of Christ is in unity. And Paul knew that our joy, our unshakable joy, is connected to unity. He knew that when the church is united, the church will thrive. When the church is united, the church is stronger. When the church is united, the church is victorious. When the church is united, the church will be a blessing to the community around it. When the church is united, the church will have an unshakable joy. The church will have a great joy. But on the other hand, Paul also knew that if there was division and disunity, that the church would be weak and the church would be shaky and the church would be ineffective. Instead of the church resisting the devil and fighting the good fight, they would be fighting one another, causing division, which would cause the church to be robbed of its joy and its influence. Division will rob the church from having unshakable joy. Division breaks the very heart of God. And that's why Paul says that we need to work toward unity, and we need to be on guard and protect unity, which leads to unshakable joy. Excuse me. He gives us four motivators now. Don't get real happy because they're kind of short. There's four motivators that Paul gives us for unity. And you can apply this to the unity in your relationships personally, to your home, to this church, to your workplace, to your team, whatever it may be. But here's the four motivators that Paul gives us here found in Philippians 2. The very first motivator is found in verse 1. He says, if you have any encouragement, and remember, you do, if you have any encouragement, and you do, from being united with Christ. Praise God this morning. Be joyful this morning that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are united with Christ. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ because of what he did for us on the cross. Be joyful knowing that we are united, one in Christ, as Jesus prayed in John 17, that we would be one together, that we would be connected together. Listen, you can have an unshakable joy. I can have an unshakable joy because we are united with Christ. That means that we are never alone. That means he walks with us. He talks with us. Hallelujah. That means that we have a relationship that he's always with us. And I am thankful this morning that we are united with Christ. And because of that, being united with him in a relationship, that brings me great joy. Paul said another motivator is this. It's found in that same verse, that there's comfort from his love. There's comfort from his love. Be joyful this morning knowing that Jesus loves you and he loves every one of us in this room. He loves those that are watching with us on the live stream right now. Be joyful knowing that Jesus loves you. We can be encouraged to have unity knowing that Jesus loves us with his love. In fact, the Bible says that his love, the word that describes his love, is an agape love. It's an unending love. It's an unconditional love. It's an undeserving love. Thank God that we can receive comfort from his agape love. this past Tuesday night, I had a wonderful opportunity to go and preach a revival service in, it depends on how you say it. Around here we say it Clinton, but it's Clinton, Clinton, North Carolina, at the Clinton Community Church. And at the end of that revival service on Tuesday night, people began to come to the altar and pray and seek the Lord. And the singers and the praise team began to sing this song that many of you probably heard before. I dare not try to sing it. I wish I'd have gave Pastor Kevin a heads up. But it's a song called How He Loves. How He Loves. And if you ever get a chance, I know David Crowder, he's got a version of it, How He Loves. Oh, how he loves us. You know how it goes, right? Oh, how he... Oh, Lord, help... This crowd here needs to get to the altar right now. But when they started singing that song and the presence of God was around that altar, my heart and soul were flooded with the love of Christ. I was receiving comfort from the Lord right there around the altar. In fact, I didn't even want to move one inch. I didn't even want to budge because I was being so comforted and so encouraged by the love of Jesus Christ as he was just pouring it out in me. And I praise God for his love. You know what was going on around that altar, along with myself and others? We were receiving comfort from his love. And I didn't want to leave out of it. And how desperately we, the church, the members of the church, need to let the love of Christ comfort us and flow through us to each other. Paul said, you can be motivated to have unity because we receive comfort from his love. And then he says, there's another motivation, and that is fellowship with the Spirit. Be joyful knowing that we have fellowship with the Spirit. That's the Spirit with a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. We have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Just a few weeks back, I can't remember exactly when, but I taught a little bit about what the word fellowship means, and it's a word in the Greek, koinonia, which means to share life together or do life together. And when you are saved and you receive the Holy Spirit into your life, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He shares life with you. You do life together with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides you and leads you and guards you and empowers you and energizes you. And you can do life with the Holy Spirit. And when you fellowship with the Spirit, I promise you, you're going to have great unshakable joy in your life. My unity and my fellowship with the Holy Spirit gives me unshakable joy. But on the other hand, listen to me, please. On the other hand, if there's division and disunity in any of my relationships, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, that because there's disunity and division in my relationships, I can actually quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. I can actually hinder my fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's why unity is so vital and so essential in our hearts and our lives. And then Paul said this fourth motivator is the tenderness and compassion. Be joyful this morning knowing that Jesus is tender and compassionate to you and to me. Don't you thank God today that Jesus tenderly takes care of us and our needs? I mean, he's not taking a stick and beating us. He's just kind of tenderly guiding us and directing us, taking care of us. Jesus is tender. He is compassionate. I don't know what view you've had of maybe what you formulated in your mind of because of your own earthly father or whatever it may be, but we have a father who is tender toward us, compassionate toward us. And we don't even deserve it. He shows compassion and he's tender toward us as we follow him and serve him. How many of you are thankful that he's tender toward us when we mess up? And maybe you don't mess up, but when I mess up, I'm thankful that he's tender toward me and he's compassionate toward me. I praise the Lord God help us. Listen, God help every one of us today to be tender and compassionate to one another so there will be unity, and that unity will lead us in to unshakable joy. Those are four motivators, and Paul says the motivation to have unity all comes through Jesus Christ. It starts by being united with Christ and being in His love, and to walk in His tenderness and compassion and to have fellowship with His Holy Spirit. But then He tells us how. He tells us how to work toward unity, to contribute to unity. I know this is the part you've been waiting for. How can I contribute to unity in my home, in my church, and in this community, and at my workplace? Well, Paul tells us how to contribute to this unity. Here we go. He says in verse 2 that you need to be like-minded. You need to be like-minded. If you look at every letter that Paul wrote in the New Testament, almost every letter, Paul emphasized unity almost in every letter. You know why? Because if there's no unity, there's no joy. If there's no unity in your life, there's going to be no joy. And Paul would emphasize over and over about how we're to have unity in our life. And one of the ways you can do that, Paul says, is to be like-minded. That doesn't mean to be cultish or being a cult. Like-minded means that God's people are all on the same page spiritually. We're all rowing the boat in the same direction. Being like-minded means that we are embracing the Word of God together. Being like-minded means we're embracing the will of God together. Being like-minded means that we're embracing the work of God together, the worship of God together. That's what being like-minded means. And Paul says, if you will stay like-minded, that will contribute to unity and bring great joy to the body of Christ, the church. And then Paul said, contribute to unity by having the same love. The same love, and what does that mean? It's the same love of God, which God is love. The same love is the same love of Christ, which is a sacrificial love. It's a selfless love that was demonstrated to us that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul was saying this, if you're going to have unity in your relationships, you have to put on the same love of Christ toward one another. I shared a devotion with the staff on Tuesday about Colossians where it says put on love. Put on love means actually like walking into a spiritual closet, and you have to make a decision of what you're going to wear that day, and you have to walk in, and by faith, you have to put on love. Put on love. You got a choice to make. Am I going to put on an attitude? Am I going to put on hate? Am I going to put on resentment? Or am I going to put on jealousy? Or am I going to do what the Word says, and I'm going to walk in that spiritual closet, and today I'm putting on love. I'm putting on love. And Paul says that we need to put on the same love of Christ. And Jesus said, they will know that you're my followers by your love for one another. Church, hear me this morning. Put on the same love that keeps no record of wrongs. Put on the same love that never brags. Put on the same love that is patient. Put on the same love that is not rude. Put on the same love that is not easily irritated. Put on the same love that bears all things. Put on the same love that never gives up. Put on the same love that will forgive someone. Put on the same love that will lay down your life for a friend. Put on the same love that will encourage people and build them up. Put on the same love that will help people and listen to people. If you want unshakable joy in your life, then love people the same with the same love that Christ expresses to you. The same love will lead to unity, which will lead to great joy. And then Paul says this right here. He says, I want you to contribute to unity also by being in one spirit and purpose. This word spirit is with the lowercase s, like the spirit of a team or the passion of a team. And he says, be in one spirit and purpose. And And that right there, that phrase right there, one in spirit and purpose, it actually carries the same meaning that you find in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, where it says they were all together in one accord. Y'all remember that passage, right? He says, be in one spirit and one purpose, because that means we have the same spiritual desires, we have the same spiritual passions, we have the same spiritual zeal for the Lord. And when I was studying this message, I'm thinking, what are we here at Mount Olive First PH? What are we zealous for? What are we passionate for? And I pray that we're zealous and passionate about being a praying church. I pray that we are zealous and passionate about being a place of hope for anybody from anywhere. We don't care who walks through the doors or comes on campus. They need the Lord. I pray that we're zealous and passionate about seeking the lost and serving the suffering and sharing life together. I pray that we're zealous and passionate about doing the will of God and pleasing God and glorifying God with our life. That's what I hope that we are in one purpose and one spirit about, that we are zealous about bringing glory to God. Because a church that is moving together in spirit, in one purpose, leads to unity, which brings unshakable joy. Now, I'm almost there. Y'all hold on. Paul said in verse 3, here's how you can contribute to unity. Have unity. To have unity, we must be unselfish. He says, don't do anything out of selfish ambition. The only way you're going to have unity in any relationships is you have to be willing to be third. You have to be unselfish. Some of y'all need to come through my marriage counseling that we do here. You'd learn that real quick. It's hard for some people when we live in a world that's all about gain and greed. It's hard for some people in this culture, because this culture we live in is all about exalting self. The culture will tell you that if you want joy, then you need to focus on yourself. But I got something to tell you, friend. Paul says that's not true. If you want joy, you need to get the focus off yourself. How many of y'all have ever heard that acrostic, joy, Jesus, others, and yourself? You got to be willing to be third. It's not about you. It's not about me. Whatever we do it for the Lord. Paul said, be unselfish. Hello. Don't do anything to gain attention to yourself. Don't do anything to get accolades for yourself. Don't do something just for a photo op. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I don't need, and you don't either, a pat on your back every time you do something for the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. Being unselfish contributes to unity, which leads to unshakable joy. And then we go over to this. Paul says, if you want to have unity, you need to have humility. He says, don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Paul said, live your life with humility. The Bible says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in due time. We need to pray like John the Baptist, who said, may I decrease and may Jesus increase. Hey, that's a good place to say, less of me, more of him. Less of me, more of him. If you want unity in your relationships and you want unshakable joy, then you need to pray, less of me and more of Jesus. Then Paul adds this. He says, I want you to be humble and consider others better than yourselves. Now, I'm fixing to give some of you a hard pill to swallow right here. You ain't all that. You ain't all that. And I know that ain't correct grammar. In fact, I mean, if there's any teachers here, forgive me. I got in that revival Tuesday night, and the first person that the pastor introduced me to is a high school English teacher sitting on the front row with a notepad. And I went ahead and apologized to her. Ma'am, don't even write anything down. I already know. Double negatives, you can count on it. We're not all that. Think about what Paul said about him own self. He said, listen, I'm not all that. In fact, I'm the chief of all sinners. He says, I'm the chief of all sinners. Listen, no matter where you are or who you're with, you need to consider others better than yourself. I think I need to say that again. No matter where you are or who you're with, you need to consider others better than yourself. Now, I'm getting ready to share something with you here, and I am moving right along. Lord, help me. I've been guilty of this right here, but when I was involved more so back in the recovery ministry several years ago, counseling some young men who were walking down the path I had already been down, I would always see, and I was guilty of it too at a certain place in my life, that we would have the tendency to compare others instead of consider others. We would have the tendency to compare others instead of consider others. Let me tell you what I mean. I compare myself thinking that, you know what, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so down the road. You know, I mean, things are jacked up in my life right now, but hey, listen, at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so that's right down the street. I mean, you know, and we would do that. I would do that trying to justify, make myself feel better, pointing to somebody else's flaws and failures, comparing them and their own issues, trying to make me look a little bit better. You know, I'm not as bad as so-and-so down the road. Hey, you know what? At least I'm not in prison. You know what? At least I pay the bills at my house and my family has clothes and at least I'm there for my youngins. Well, guess what? This is what I would tell them after I got some maturity about me. You're not supposed to be in prison. Guess what? You're supposed to provide for your family. Guess what? You're supposed to have a job. Guess what? You're supposed to be there when your kids need you. What do you want, a cookie or a cake made for you or something? No, that's what is expected of you. Come on. So we need to stop comparing others and start considering others better than ourselves. We're no better than anyone else, and we wouldn't be anything at all without the grace and mercy of God at work in our life. Amen. Apart from Christ, we are nothing. Lord, I might need you to come on and play something, brother. You know, when you're counseling, they tell you to offer the, y'all heard the positive-negative sandwich, where you go positive, then you go negative, then you go positive. Well, I've messed this sandwich all up. Now, I want us to be encouraged before we leave. The last thing Paul says here before we pray, he says, remember, you ain't all that. And then he says, I want you to do this right here in verse 4. He says, I want you to look out for the interest of others. So if you want unity in your relationships, you gotta look out for others. You got to look out for others. I want to just say this right here. If you want unity in this church, in this community around us, in your family, look out for the people in your family. Look out for them. They may push your buttons, and even in your family, there's some people that might get on your nerves, but look out for them. Look out for your family. Look out for your friends. Look out for your church family. Look out for the people in this community. Hey, look out for the people in the mountains. Look out for the people on your team. Look out means that you should care for others. When you look out for others, that will contribute to unity, which brings great joy. God wants to use you and use me to help look out for some people. And my prayer is, God, help every one of us in here right now. You know what the problem is why we can't look out for people? It's because we're not willing to adjust our schedules and our lives to look out for those that may be in need. I pray that today there would be an adjustment made in our lives, an adjustment made in our schedules that, you know what, instead of looking as we drive by it, we would look out for people and care for them and help them in any way we can. Paul says, if you do this, it's going to lead to unity. And it's going to bring great joy. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. Man, you went through this list and they all seem like little small things. But Paul says, if you add these small things up, it's going to motivate and contribute to unity in your life. And I promise you, you will have a joy that is complete. And you will have an unshakable joy in your life. And I want to say this to you right now before we pray. And I wish I could get in every one of you, I wish I could get in your face right now and look you in the eye with tenderness and say, you matter. You matter to the unity and joy of this church. Every single one of you, every single one of the people working behind the scenes right now, every single one that stood before this church today to join as members, you matter to the unity and joy of this church. You matter. And I give you permission to stop anything that would create division or disunity. You have my permission to stop it. You matter. You matter. You matter to the unity and joy in your home. You matter. You matter to the unity and joy of your workplace. You matter to the unity and joy of your school. You matter to the unity and joy of your team, your ministry. In fact, Paul said in another letter, he says in Ephesians chapter 4, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. In other words, whatever you got to do, if you have to forgive somebody, you need to forgive that person. If you have to forgive them so you can keep the unity and you can keep your joy. Hey, I've heard it said, I can love them, but I don't have to like them. No, you need to like them. And if you don't like them, you need to learn to like them so you can keep the unity and the joy. And if there's friction in any of your relationships, you need to make every effort possible to try to fix the friction as much as you can so you can keep the unity and keep your joy. God, help us. God, help me, every one of us, to be willing to make every effort, because unity leads to unshakable joy. And I just wonder this morning, if there's anyone here that needs some unity in your home, maybe in relationships, maybe you're the one, maybe there's some friction in your life and God's put it on your heart to try to do what you can to fix it. Don't let the devil rob you of your joy. Don't let the devil stir up division and disunity and keep you away from the unity that he wants you to have and the joy that he wants you to have. Don't you see that you're being played? You're being played by the enemy. And he is laughing his head off, thrilled that he has created division and disunity in your life, with your family, with your workplace. But today can be a new day. You can say no more, because I'm going to make every effort. I'm going to make every effort. I've been motivated, and I know how now, through the Word of God, because unity is going to lead me to unshakable joy. Would you bow your heads, please? Nobody looking around. Can I just begin by saying that you'll never have unity, you'll never have joy until you're united with Christ. And Jesus is here, and he loves you. And you may not be saved today. You may be living away from God. You may be living in sin. Jesus is reaching out to you today, wanting to have a relationship that you and him can be united together in his love, his peace, his joy. But you got to make a decision to repent of your sins and receive him to be your Lord and Savior. Nobody looking around. Maybe you walked in today, Or maybe you feel like you have just drifted way, way, way away from the Lord, and you need to come back to His grace, come back to His tenderness and compassion, and He let Him just save you, cleanse you, purify you, change you, and transform you. Nobody looking around, friend. If you're here this morning and you just want to make a fresh surrender to Christ, would you do me a favor so I can pray for you? I promise we're not going to embarrass you. Would you just lift your hand real high where I could see it right now and say, please pray for me, Pastor. Please pray. God bless you both. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Anyone? God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you for obeying the Lord. Thank you for responding to the Lord. Is there anyone else? Anyone else need to respond to the love of Christ?